All right, so I don't know if you saw last week's video. I posted a video from Sweden on what's going on over there with the Muslim invasion. And I talked last week about, which is now up to 200 sexual assaults and police complaints in Germany. We talked about that. I have an article posted below, at least I hope it's in the postings, talking about how that movement, the Muslim rape gangs, is kind of spreading over here. Hush, hush by the media, by the way. Look, let's get off the international bent, shall we? Let's get off what he said. I didn't even mention what he said about Russia consolidating their hold on Ukraine because they're concerned about the satellite. What? Ukraine is a sovereign nation. Has been for decades. It escaped from the grasp of the Soviet Union. This guy isn't even honest enough to say Russia took Crimea. And I mean, look, it's unbelievable. Unbelievable. And you know, unfortunately, I think there's a lot of Americans who listen to him, his great delivery, his manifestly false but beautifully done delivery, and they eat it up because they don't know. They're caught up in their everyday lives. They're caught up with the purposeful distractions of this, that, and the other, from football to lotto to whatever, and they don't know. Scary deal. Scary deal. So, let's go to domestic issues, shall we? I think I've given you enough solid, concrete facts related to Iran, Russia, and ISIS. Oh, there's one other fact. My producer's flashing at me here, and it's a great one. You know, he tried to tell us about violent extremism and gun control, which I'm going to get into here in just a moment. He tried to tell us that, you know, blaming this on Muslims, I mean, I'm paraphrasing here, was totally wrong, outrageous, un-American. Wow, he's calling us un-American. Great. Etc. Well, you know what? The Heritage Foundation just completed a study. It does not include the terror attacks from before San Bernardino to now. And there's been a slew of them all around the globe, including here in the United States. Two here in the United States, I might add. Philadelphia and San Bernardino. Prior to those attacks, over the last month and a half, all of which have been by radical Muslim extremists, there were 452 terror attacks in the last, I believe it was either 12 or 14 months, whatever time period they use. You can Google it up and read it for yourself. And out of those, how many do you think were involved radical Muslim extremists, jihadis? 100? 200? 300? No, folks. 450 of 452 terror attacks were by radical Muslim extremists. And this guy is trying to tell us this is not a Muslim problem. He's not even honest enough to say it's a radical and nasty branch of the Muslim religion. Unbelievable. All right. Let's go to domestic issues. He talked about Obamacare. He crowed about 18 million people being on there and blah, 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 blah. Listen, never mind that their projections were for 31 million at this time, so they are just slightly over 50% of their projections. Never mind that the quality of care, because The huge preponderance of these 18 million people in Obamacare are Medicaid enrollees, and doctors and hospitals will not take Medicaid because the reimbursement level is so low and they would go broke. Let's put all that to the side, shall we? Let's talk about instead some other facts which were, shall we say, left out. He told us that inflation has slowed. Well, you know, first of all, a bald lie. The bronze plans, just so you know, in Obamacare on their own are almost doubling in the coming 12 months. Almost doubling. This is the lowest rung of the Obamacare ladder, the people who can least afford it. The people who can't get the care because they're Medicaid anyway. Their rates are doubling. He didn't talk about the increase in cost via tax, the penalties, the tax on Cadillac deals, all these things he deferred as he performed his ritual of the invasion of the body snatcher over the last 4 years, which are coming home to roost this year. Gee, the year before he gets out of office. And those rates, by the way, folks, have increased both in private, in the private insurance market for those people who didn't lose their insurance, in the corporate, the business insurance market. In other words, you work for a company and they provide you health insurance. Even for the unions, because they lost their court case, by anywhere from 25 to 100%. 25 to 100%. But the rate of inflation, according to Mr. Obama, has slowed. And it's all a grand, smashing success. Let me give you some more facts about Obamacare, which somehow weren't mentioned. 49 of the 50 states will see premiums go up. In the individual market in 2016, that's this year, there's a study out, you can read it, Freedom Partners, a Virginia-based nonprofit organization, Google it up. Every state, with the exception of Mississippi, will see their health insurance premiums go up in 2016. Many states are going to see double-digit increases. One in three states, this is amazing, 17% are going to see average premium increases of 20 or more percent. By the way, for all you listeners out there around the country, that includes Alabama, Alaska, Delaware, Hawaii, Idaho. I know I have a lot of listeners in Idaho. Illinois, Iowa. I know I have a lot of listeners in Iowa. Kansas, the same. Maryland, Minnesota, Missouri, Montana. Lots of listeners in Montana. North Carolina, Oklahoma, lots of listeners. Oregon, Tennessee, and West Virginia. Congratulations on this slowdown in the rate of inflation for healthcare, folks. Yeah, you should be really happy. The largest premium increases, you think that's bad, are Minnesota. Al Franken. Al Franken, who won his seat by 300 votes using fraud and who should be in jail along with half the other folks on Capitol Hill and was the deciding vote for Obamacare. Hey, you Minnesotans who voted for him, congratulations to you guys. You did a great job. Minnesota, 47.7% increase this year. Congratulations, Minnesota. Alaska, 39.1%. You guys up in Alaska, you remember that Democratic senator you finally bounced out of there this past year? Should have done it earlier. Tennessee, 35.2%. Hawaii, 30%. And Oklahoma, 29.4%. Congratulations to all you for this slowdown in the rate of inflation of healthcare costs to you. Never mind that half the state exchanges have gone bankrupt. putting even more burden on the federal government. And none of this counts the approximate $16 billion, nobody can get the exact numbers out of this oh-so-transparent administration, that the federal government, okayed by the Republicans in the omnibus bill, I might add, is paying to the insurance companies to make up for their losses under Obamacare because Obamacare doesn't work. I'm so glad the rate of inflation has slowed. I mean, unbelievable. Drip, drip, drip. The pod grows an arm. Okay, then we have, gun control, right? I mean, the usual sob story. If we can prevent one life, I mean, listen to my show last week on gun control, folks, if you haven't listened to it. I present some interesting concepts that you probably haven't thought about. Kind of the antithesis to the thought, the other side of the coin. The rest of the story, as in gun control being truly the epitome of a war on women. Listen to it. I'm not going to repeat it here. But I am going to tell you, that one of the things I told you last week, when this guy stands up and talks about how he's for the Second Amendment and he's for the individual rights of people to bear arms, he has not appointed a jurist, and approximately 40% of the courts are now staffed with jurists he appointed, part of his shadow government. I'm going to talk about that here at the end of the show, because this guy has lots more planned for us. Even when he's out of office, you're going to shudder. 40% of the jurists in this country at the federal level now are Obama appointees. Not a single one of them support the Second Amendment. Not a single one. Not a single one of his department heads, his cabinet, support the Second Amendment. In fact, most are downright hostile to the concept of any American citizen owning any firearm whatsoever. Yet this guy tells us he's in favor of the Second Amendment. He's always been in favor of the Second Amendment. He's not trying to take your guns away. He cites Australia, where there was gun confiscation, Britain, where there was gun confiscation, and Communist China, where there was gun confiscation, as perfect models of how we could support and protect the Second Amendment and still control gun violence. And he includes in gun violence Muslim extremism, which he won't mention by name. Look, I told you last week, and I'm going to tell you again, that this whole thing is a ruse. It's another drip, drip, drip. It's part of the body snatcher process. Since 2004, the FBI has been required under law to destroy the NICS records of gun sales. In other words, you go in, you do your background check, that has to be destroyed within 24 hours of receipt. Whether or not they have been is subject to conjecture. I have my own opinion. I'm sure you know what it is. Federally licensed dealers, however, are required to maintain the records of any background checks that have been done. I don't know if you know that or not. So once again, you still get the half truth. Oh, we're required to destroy it. Yes, but you forgot to tell us that the gun dealers are required to keep it. So the records exist. They're out there. They know who has guns if they've been purchased in the last 10 years or so. Listen, if the government can figure out who legally owns a gun, the government can take the gun. If you let them. Now, that's a whole nother thing. Are 100 million Americans going to let the government come take their guns? I don't think so. I think President Obama and his ilk, in one true moment of depravity, in one really costly potential mistake, have failed to realize what would happen if they tried to do it. But that is yet another tale. Okay, the president, let me quote. This will be the only quote out of his speech, other than the ISIS reference to, you know, tortured souls in the back of pickup trucks. We have nothing to fear. Quote, I respect the Second Amendment. I respect the right to bear arms. I respect people who want a gun for self-protection. Oh, really? Let's see. We know who you've put in place in office. We know the shadow government you've built. We know what you've done with the judiciary, all of which is absolutely 100% contradictory to your statements, to your assertions to the American people, your lies. Let me give you another quote from President Barack Obama. This goes back, as I talked about in my last week's show, this goes back to when he was a state legislator in Illinois. That's a long time ago, folks. He hasn't changed one iota. Here's that quote. Quote, I don't believe people should be able to own guns. Unquote. What's the source of that? There are a number of sources, including interviews. But how about this? There was a gentleman by the name of John Lott. He went to school with Obama at the University of Chicago Law School in 1996. Obama has also publicly stated, and he knew Obama. This is a quote from John Lott as to what he was told and what he heard Obama telling in his speeches, in his rhetoric. Here's another quote from Obama. I support a nationwide ban on the manufacture, sale, and possession of handguns. Here's another quote. A ban on the sale or transfer of all forms of semi-automatic weapons. In the 2008 presidential primaries, go back, look it up, Google it up, Obama supported Washington, D.C.'s ban on handguns, which, by the way, was struck down by the Supreme Court. And then, of course, he claims it's Congress's fault and it's not enough agents and all this kind of stuff. Let me give you a guide. Let me give you an idea of where this guy's priorities lie. Let me give you an idea, despite the crap you heard in the State of the Union speech and all the other drivel that comes from his lying lips and the lying lips of all those around him. Let me give you another little deal here. So, do you know how many people are on the anti-terrorism, the specialized anti-terrorism, highest level deal, CIA, FBI, etc.? Do you know how many people are in that kind of special division? 50. With what Obama is doing in this so-called meaningless first of 23, we don't know what the other 22 are, I can imagine, executive orders on guns, he has increased the staff of the ATF to over 400 for gun-related investigations, background checks, etc. He's done the same thing. He's doubled the FBI staff. He has not given them one more agent for counterterrorism. But he's doubled the FBI staff to over 400 for the same thing. Background checks, you know, finding out who has guns, etc., etc. I'm trying not to go over. I'm already late on this show. I mean, there's so much to talk about here, so I'm not going to go into the weeds. But know this. You got 50 people protecting the American public he's so concerned about from terrorists that he's releasing from Guantanamo. And you got 800 people now working to make it tougher for you to buy a gun or to know where your gun is so they can take it if they want. Drip, 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 and another arm grows from the pod of the body snatcher. All right, then we have the economy. I'm going to speed it up here, okay? I told you last week and the week before about the 281,000 jobs in December that everybody thought was so cool. I told you it was a bunch of crap. Guess what's come out? Do you know how many jobs were really added to the economy last year that they could track? Last December. That's a month ago. 11,000. Not 281,000, 11,000. Go to the Bureau of Labor Statistics. The other approximately 270,000 jobs that they conjured out of thin air was made through a, quote, seasonal adjustment. In fact, there's been some research done now by Harry Dent and David Stockman, who, by the way, was Reagan's budget director. And guess what they came up with? You know how long they've been lying to us? And this goes back into George Bush even. The adjustment is averaged in December. Their seasonally adjusted average in December. Remember, I told you it was artificial. 320,000 has been the average seasonal December adjustment over 12 years. Wow. Coupled with new stats that are out, the last Christmas selling season, foot traffic was down 11% at brick-and-mortar stores. What does that tell you about what's going to be happening to your shopping centers and all the people that work in them? You know what's happening with the energy markets, which, by the way, is another drip, drip, drip of the invasion of this body snatcher. He wants to see American energy cratered. He just put in new regulations yesterday, the day before this show, that puts a complete ban on any federal leasing of coal lands to coal companies for 3 years. Because he wants to increase the 12.5% royalty they pay the federal government. But that's what he uses for an excuse. Drip, drip, drip. The invasion of the body snatcher. He wants to shut down coal, just like he wants to shut down energy, just like he's cheering Saudi Arabia on in its decimation of the American energy industry, a $1 trillion industry, employing millions of people. Well, now unemploying millions of people. It's the same thing he did with the oil and gas guys when he cut federal leasing of oil and gas lands 6 years ago by like 75 or 80%. And then watched, very pissed off and petulant, as they went out and said, okay, we'll do it on private land. Go wildcatters. All right. By the way, do you know what the real employment numbers last December of 2014 were? Now that this has been researched, 6,000. 6,000. Go back and look at the official government tally reports. Several hundred thousand. 200,000 of the December seasonal adjustment was supposedly in the construction sector. Huh. Imagine that. Unfortunately, the construction sector, because this is accurately tracked, went down. Less commercial starts, less housing starts. It's at 1.1 million jobs. That's down 15% from the prior construction cycle high. In fact, in December of 2000, there were 6.7 million construction jobs. So there's been no gains, despite 200,000 of these jobs being conjured in seasonal adjustment in December, not a good construction month, by the Bureau of Labor Statistics. And all these jobs, by the way, are jobs, the jobs that we're losing in the energy sector, the construction sector, etc., these are all good-paying jobs. They're 50,000 above the median. I talked about that last week, how most of the jobs that were created, that we now learn, although we knew it, but now we know the numbers, were conjured, were in the lower-paying sectors. I mean, truly, truly amazing. 50% of all the jobs that really were created pay under $30,000. So we have 11, and we had 11% fewer jobs in goods production last year. Mining, energy, manufacturing, construction. 21% fewer than at the turn of the century. The turn of the century, folks, is year 2000. That's 14 years ago. Yeah. So you know where 70% of all the jobs that were created that he crowed about in his State of the Union speech, you know where they were created? Part-time economy jobs, folks. Why do part-time economy jobs come? Because businesses aren't doing well. They can't afford to pay the freight of a full-bore employee. And because of Obamacare. Do you see how all this is linked in? Do you see how all these hundreds, if not thousands, of intravenous needles dripping the poison of the body snatcher into the American body politic, the American middle class, and American values? Do you see how they are related? They come from the same poisonous well, even though there's 1,000 tubes that come out of it, dripping their poison into our system. And I'm not trying to be overly melodramatic. I mean, I'm trying to paint you a visual. Do you know the only sector that really added true jobs was the health care sector? 32.6 million jobs. But, you know, health, education, health is a disaster, education is a disaster. So the one place that we had job pickups, we have nothing stimulating the economy. In fact, both of them drag it down. The U.S. economy, if you put this on a trend level basis, both these economists came up with this separately. They got all the stats and figures to back it up. Generated only 21,000 jobs per month over the last 15 years that were not funded, listen to this now, by the $10 trillion gain in national debt. In other words, private industry only created 21,000 jobs per month over the last 15 years. Every other job that was created, whether it was part-time, whether it was low-paying, whether it was high-paying, was in one way, shape, or form bought and paid for by the $10 trillion increase in our debt. I don't remember him talking about that. To give you some reference points here, in December 1999, 140,000 jobs were added compared to 11,000 we now find out this last December. In December 2007, the jobs were 212,000. Do you see the trend line here? It's sinking like a rock. Sinking like a rock. And if you don't think that has an effect on the body politic, the American psyche, American values, the American dream, in other words, the body of America that the body snatcher is slowly assimilating. Let me give you some really scary numbers. There was a survey that was done by Magnify Money. This, by the way, just came out a week ago. Of all the Americans, I want you to listen to this really carefully. And I'm sure many of us fit in these various categories. 24.8% of us have less than $100 in all our accounts combined. Another 23.8% of us have between $101 and $500 in their accounts. That means 48 and a few percentage points, 48% plus of America has less than $500 in all their accounts combined. I want you to think about that for a moment. 7.7% of us have between $500 and $1,000 in our accounts. 16.4% of us have between 1,000 and 5,000 in our accounts. Only 27.3% of us have more than 5,000 in our accounts. That is unbelievable. That means more than 60% of America has less than $1,000 in January of 2016 in their accounts. And he's telling us the economy is great, that it's never been better. Okay. That, my friends, was some of those amazing statistics I unearthed. I'm not going to have time to go into the energy story, but it's very important. I'm going to put that on the side for next week when I talk about immigration. And I'm going to put to the side debt, too, because that's another thing you didn't talk about. Let me just give you a little flavor of that, though. And I've talked about this numerous times, but here's some more numbers that just came out for last year. The Federal Reserve has printed $3.4 trillion since 2008. $3.4 trillion, folks, which they've used to buy our debt. And debt gets leverage. You know, there's a debt leverage factor. Companies in emerging markets have loaded up on $9 trillion dollar-denominated debt because of this multiplier effect. U.S. energy firms have loaded up on $5 trillion. They're called junk bonds in this multiplier debt. All this debt that's been spun out of money that was printed to buy our debt. And if that sounds confusing, let me put it another way. The Federal Reserve prints a dollar. That dollar goes into the banking system. Banks can lend, I'm taking this number, it's different for every bank, regional bank, national bank, etc. Banks can lend $10 based on that dollar. That's a dollar in reserves, $10 in loans. 10% reserve. I'm making this really, really, really simple. And then they loan the $10 out. And they loan the $10 out to all sorts of people, including energy companies, companies in emerging markets, other governments, you name it. And that is how the debt grows. And none of that money can be repaid. It couldn't be repaid in really good times. With what I've just described to you, it can't be repaid in the times that we have, in the times that are coming, which is really what's going on with the stock market, I might add. So, kind of a sobering show, and I am, apologize to the AM stations and affiliates. I know I am 5 minutes over. You're just going to have to spank me, and I'm going to end the show right now. All I want you to know, folks, is the pod is growing into our form. It's almost taken our form. And just like in the movie, The Invasion of the Body Snatchers, if we don't wake up, we will become it. This is Reed Lance Rosenthal on the Right Side Radio. Till next week.
Please remember, if you've missed any shows, just click on Show Archive and you'll find all of his shows. We look forward to seeing you here again next week for another episode of Reed Lance Rosenthal on the Right Side.